Good evening, everyone. This is John Adolphe. Welcome to our most updated and new informational HUD boot camp. We've had many of these through the years, and it is March 18th, 2017. We've got a group of people here who have very nicely said, we're going to spend time with you tonight, John.
April.
Did I say April? What did I say? March? You know, I did that last month. It is April. Thank you, Jim. Jim just corrected me, and I appreciate that. It's April 18th, 2000. It is 2017, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor. All right. So what we're going to do here tonight is we're going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that's HUD homes. All right. And just to let everybody know on the recording that our next month, and what month would that be? May. Right. May, we're going to have, and that's going to be on the 16th, another boot camp. But this is going to be how to remodel and fix up your home, own home that you're living in, a HUD home perhaps that you've purchased, a property that you're going to flip, a property that you're going to keep and rent out. How do you fix it up? Where do you spend the money? Where does it do the most good? We're going to hit that next month, and we only got 12 seats available, so anyone here tonight and or listening to this recording, give us a call, 695-6434, or hit reply to any one of my emails and say, John, I want in on that. That'll be 7 p.m. here at my office at 75 State Street in Phoenix. Tonight, we're going to discuss, like I say, HUD homes, and let's begin. First off, what is a HUD home? A lot of people ask that question because they don't know what a HUD home is. And a HUD home is a property that has gone through a foreclosure. And that means that somebody had an FHA loan on their home and then they went belly up. Now, an FHA loan is a government-backed loan. Can I give you a little backstory? Up until 1934, you know what the magic number, what you had to have down in order to buy a house? 35% down. You had to have 35% down. And the reason is that the banks had figured out what the percentage down, that is, what's part of the skin in the game that you need to have in order to make them feel okay about it. Meaning that if you went belly up, what percentage of, you know, your part do you have invested that's going to allow them to be able to get out of that bad situation and still make money? And they figured that 35%. You go to the Costa Rica, I was there in 2008. Guess what your down payment is in Costa Rica? 35%. Now, what the government did, they said, chicken in every pot, everybody needs their own house. So the government stepped in and said, look, bankers, here's what we're going to do. We're going to insure your loan. We're going to charge a little bit to the buyers every month for this insurance. It's going to be in their mortgage payment, but we're going to insure the loan so that if you go belly up, we'll pay you every cent that's owed. Back interest, principal, legal fees, everything, so that you don't have to worry a thing. That way we can get people into homes with 3.5%, 5%, even 0% down. Bank says, yeah, that's great. And that's what they've been doing ever since. Home ownership has hovered anywhere between 65 to 69%, and it hasn't gone much higher. It fluctuates somewhere between 67 to 68-69. But it did increase home ownership. I'm not saying that back in the 30s it was 60, but it's worked its way up to where it is today. So what HUD does, they say, this is an FHA loan, bank. You use it. They get in trouble. We'll bail you out. And that's how it becomes a HUD home. FHA mortgage, foreclosure at the bank, bank turns to the government, government bails it out, government now owns a house, and now they got to get rid of it. So before you ask, no, when they price HUD homes, there's no deference, or it's not predicated on anything in the past. Meaning that if a house was owed, if they had to pay the bank $100,000 on a house that's only worth $70,000, they'll put it on the market for $60,000 if that's what the market value is. So they don't pay attention to that. They don't have to, and they don't. They've got a huge pool of money, at least in theory they do, all right, that they're able to pay the banks off. And we, as people with FHA mortgages, pay into it every single month. That's how it works. So, once a property becomes FHA and the property, come on in, guys. Yep, there you go. Then it goes into the hands of the government. The government then has a management company. And the management company today for us is called BLB Resources. And they hire us, the real estate agents, to market the properties and to sell them. And that's who I am. I'm the neighborhood listing broker, as they call us. And I'm here as, did I say friendly? Friendly neighborhood broker. Spider-Man, right? And I'm here to assist in the marketing and sales of HUD homes. HUD homes, in my opinion, are awesome. Absolutely awesome. Mind-blowing. I absolutely adore them, love them. If I wasn't married, I'd marry a HUD home. I just love them. And there's a reason for it. And part of the reason is, and we'll talk about that in just a second, is the interface between you folks and the government. They have got a tremendous bidding system, and the way they go about lowering prices, and just their whole system is just awesome. Every shade of awesome you would want. Far superior to, in my opinion, even one of my second favorite, Hubzu, the auction site, auction.com, which is my least favorite auction site. It's better than HomePath. It's better than bank foreclosures. It's better than HomeSteps, which is the Fannie Mae. It's better than them all.
Hubzu and what?
HubzuAuction.com, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, which is HomeSteps, HomePath. It's better than them all. Does that mean you can't get a great deal at a HomePath? Absolutely not. You can get a great deal with HomePath. And I've sold them. But not consistently. Not like this. Okay. That's what a HUD home is. Let's take a look at the statistics here. And these statistics have changed, and I'll tell you what I mean by just a second. In January 2011, there were 235 HUD homes in New York State. Okay, just let that number just kind of... And it was good. And it was good. The pickings were good. Look what happened in a year later. It went to 16. And for a couple of years, it hovered between 13 and 30 for the entire New York State. Now, let me tell you another little HUD stat that, unless you got on the HUD site and were consistently looking, and it does present itself at any given time, Central New York has one of the highest, not rates, but highest statistics or highest amount of HUD homes in all of New York State. Greater than Albany, New York City, Buffalo, Rochester, right here in these four counties. Actually, it's in these two counties, Onondaga and Oswego County. Has been ever since I started doing HUDs in 1988. How many HUDs were being released back in the 80s, 90s? Nobody will tell you that stat because, they had to pay attention and count them up and actually pay attention to it, and I did. And they were anywhere in Onondaga County. I'm going to go on the low end because I almost can't believe my own stats, even though I've been repeating them for all these years. It was 100 to 300 a year. It was actually 200 to 300 a year in Onondaga County. There were 1,200 one year in Onondaga County of all flavors of foreclosures. 1,200 a year. In Oswego County, about 100. About 100.
So many, what causes
I can't tell you why Syracuse or the surrounding areas got the high. I don't have the answer to that.
It's people not being able to afford the rent.
Yes, exactly. It's people not affording
the job.
That's right. Yeah, I would get. Yeah, jobs. You know, overdoing it, divorce, death. You know, just overextending themselves, just running into problems, sickness. So, this is what we have here. This is a great place to be able to buy foreclosed properties. Central New York, the best. Give you one more stat. Out of the 62 counties, the four counties comprise 7%, not in size, but just the amount of counties. So, I'm not counting size in here, size of the county, the square miles. Or demographics of population. But just this is 7% of the four counties is 7% of the entire state of New York. And we comprise anywhere between 20 to 30% of all the HUD homes. That's impressive. That means opportunity. So it hovered at 16. What do you think I was doing during that time when there was only 16 HUD homes? I was like, well, because there was a higher incidence, out of those 16, there may be one, two, or three in the central New York area. I was marketing the daylights out of them. I was trying to sell them, and I did. I would be selling, I don't know, anywhere between 50 to 80% of them. You know, whether it was my listing or not. I mean, I just love them. A year later, 44 HUD homes. And I'm like waiting, and I would have these seminars, and I'd tell people, the dam is about to break. The dam is about to break. It's going to happen. They've been accumulating. They're just not 16 HUD homes. They're holding them back. They're holding them back at 200 to 300. Even if it's 100 a year, they're holding them back. You know, they're going to release them soon. I kept saying that. And then in 2015, January of 2015, 75 HUD homes, and I'm starting to get a little bit excited at that point. I'm like going, it's about to happen. And then 4 months later, 5 months later, there were 90 HUD homes in 2015. And then July of 2015, there was 160 HUD homes. And I'm like going, yeah! But I'm sitting here remembering this stat right here, 235, 235, 235. We've got to get to 235. 2016, February of 2016, 228 HUD homes. So you see how long it has taken for this market to, I don't want to say recover, but go through that period of time where foreclosures were taking 2 to 5 plus years, where it used to take a year to 2 years, it was 2 to 5 years, sometimes more. Okay, and then April 2016, there was 320. June of 2016, there was 397. January 17th of 2017, there was 436 HUD homes. All right. Right now, they've sold off quite a few. So we're back down into the high 200s right at the moment. Still means plenty of opportunity. And again, remember, the more of them, the better the price. And the more of them are in this area right here, in this central New York area. Okay. So there was finally a break in the dam. There was something called the shadow inventory that they talked about during that 2011 to beyond. It was 4 to 6 million properties in foreclosure, or in the process of foreclosure, I should say, throughout the United States. It was a really bad situation, and there was so much speculation as to why they were being held back and what they were going to do. And I remember Obama wanted... I forgot. There was a number of plans on the table to move these out. Oh, that investors could buy chunks of 100 of them if they promised not to resell them, just rent them so that the market wouldn't get flooded. That's what they were... I don't know if they ever did it, but that was one of the plans that the president had at the time. More HUDs mean more opportunities and lower prices. It's just the bottom line. I've seen it happen myself personally. Now, on the HUD website, I'm going to show it to you, okay? And for those of you who are listening to this, you can go ahead and pause this and go to the HUDHomeStore.com website. That's www.HUDHomeStore.com. And please believe me, you do not want to do www.HUDHomeStore.com and put it in Google. You'll wind up on a pay site. Put it in the URL or the address bar. Just type it in there. And when you press it, you'll come up to the home site, which has got a map of the United States. Now, we're at the New York State site right now, which all you need to do is click on the New York State icon on the map, and you'll come to New York State, and then put that in your favorites. That's one of my little, if you want to call it technique, secret. It just reduces the amount of time, because I'm looking at it every day, several times a day. So I want to shave off those seconds so that I can be more effective. Okay. So there's 263 right now for sale. I want to show you, I'm going to click on the property case number, or you can click on the icon, the picture itself, and I'm going to open it up to the property page. On the property page, you are going to see a thing called listing period. I know it's hard to see from that direction or that distance. There are three listing periods, and I'm going to go over those with you And those listing periods state who can bid on them and when. Okay? Listing period is right below the listing information in blue, and it is in black. Listing period right under the list date. All right. Let's go back to our slide presentation. And I want to deal with the first one, which is lottery. Lottery bid period is hardly any properties are coming out as lottery. The matter of fact, last year almost all of them were coming out lottery bid period. They've made some changes. I don't want to take up our time explaining why. Just understand that lottery means you can't bid on it. If it comes out as a lottery bid period, it only means that government agencies and non-for-profits can bid on it. Who has purchased these from us in the past? Home headquarters. They did during the lottery bid period. For 7 days, it just goes on the market. It means that the house is either in a revitalization zone or it's beat up. That's and not all of them start in the lottery. So lottery bid period, 7 days. So just watch it. And then what you want to do is you want to see what happens on the eighth day. So you want to mark it in your calendar on the eighth day if you want to track a property because you're very interested in it. You want to mark it in your calendar and then you want to jump on the HUD site and see what did it sell. And, what was the, what is now the new bid period? And I'll go over the next two bid periods with you, which are the ones that you're going to be concerned with the most. All right? Our second bid period is called exclusive. And the exclusive bid period, all right, means there's no investor bidding. No investor bidding. Exclusive. I wish they hadn't used these words because they're confusing. They used to have better words before, and I can't remember what they were. I think they called it owner-occupant and investor bidding. Exclusive means owner-occupant. Now, what is the bid period for it? If the property is beat up, really beat up, it's uninsurable. It just means that it can't pass a mortgage. Okay, it can't get a mortgage because it's all beat up. 5 days, owner-occupant. Pay attention to this one because this is where you can win by inches and seconds. All right? 5 days. On the sixth day, you as an investor can bid. On the sixth day. Now, why is that so important? Let me tell you the reason why it's so important. How long do you think it takes a property to get any traction once it's released? How is a property released? It's released on the HUD site. It's released on the multiple listing service. Once it's released on the multiple listing service, it has to then be picked up by the internet feeds like Zillow, Trulia. Okay? Then it really hits the market. So HUD says, here it is. It's on our website. And then they say to the listing broker, either that day or the next day, put it on the MLS. We do. We have to upload and prove to them that we have. That's already day one gone. Then it has to get to the news feeds. Day two gone. How many days do we have left? How long does it take for someone to see it, call their realtor, get an appointment, and get inside, and then make a decision, and hopefully they're already pre-approved? Or not, then they got to stop. Do you see how these five-day bid periods can work as a small little buffer, distraction zone, not enough time zone for you to be able to bid on the sixth day? When's this good? It's great when it's a beat-up house because owner-occupants typically don't want to buy a beat-up house, owner-occupant versus an investor. And if it's a great, screaming, great deal that comes out of the gate, which not most of them are right off the bat, this is where you're just like, you're just waiting to chomp. You're chomping at the bit. You're watching this 5 days go by. And then you strike. As an investor, you strike on that sixth day. If that means we hold off until the sixth day that you actually get inside of it because I'm busy or whatever, then but you're going to get in on that sixth day and you're going to then make a decision on that sixth day to put your bid in before midnight, before 9, because I go to bed, okay, before 9, and then they'll open up the next day and find out if you're the happy winner. 5-day bid periods. Expect them. There's not a lot of them. They'll surprise you. They almost startle you in the HUD world, so to speak. It does me even, because I'm not expecting it, even though I know it. Then I kind of go, ugh. I remember one time I never caught it. I mean, I religiously look at the HUD site between 5:30 and 6 every morning, taking notes, getting ready for the day. And even when I do that, something like this happens, and I oversee, especially if it's our other neighbor to the east, who's also a listing broker for HUD. If they've listed it and it's not mine, and I'm not, you know, anyway, this is what you look for. This is one of those inches and seconds moments. Now, if the property isn't beat up, then it's going to go through a 15-day bid period. Thankfully, most all HUD homes are not priced really good. They're overpriced for the most part. Why is that an advantage to you? Because if you've got to wait while all the owner-occupants have 15 full days to take a look at this property and you can't even touch it, you pray that they're overpriced. Because once that 15 days is over with, then on the 16th day and beyond, you can bid. And it's on a daily 24-hour bid cycle from that point forward. So, let me just recap. The beat-up houses, forget about lottery for a second. The beat-up houses, 5 days, you can bid on the 6th day. For the good properties, 10-day bid period. They open them up on the 11th day. If nothing sells, it goes through 5 more daily bid periods for a total of 15 days for owner-occupant. And on the 16th day, mark your calendar. Actually, mark your calendar. Here's another little tip. Mark your calendar. I'm tracking one right now for a couple of people. Mark your calendar for the 11th day, because you're going to want to see if it sells in that 10 days. Because if it doesn't, the chances of it selling in those 5 individual days won't happen. And then you're just like, bring it on. I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready to bid on this. If, in fact, it's biddable. If it's not, which most of them aren't, we'll get to that in just a second. Hold that thought. All right. People ask me, well, what about the weekend? The weekend is a 3-day bid period. It's actually 1 day, but it starts on Friday and ends on Sunday. And here's another question that people ask. If I put a bid in on Friday at 6 a.m., or I put a bid in at 9 p.m. on Sunday, is there any advantage? No. None. And if there's a holiday on Monday, then it goes to Tuesday for the bid opening. So, if you put a bid on Friday, they open it on Monday. If there's a holiday, they open it up on Tuesday. Okay? But once it goes through its initial 5 or 15-day bid period, then it's daily bidding, no matter what happens. Price reductions, comes back on the market, whatever. 24-hour bid period. And this is where you really need a key on this. Because you can take advantage of your competition by knowing this. Because if you're hovering over the website, let's say there is no John Adolfi to interface between you and the HUD website, then if you're doing it all on your own, then you're hovering on the website and you're waiting for these inches and seconds moments, such as a property that falls through and all of a sudden jumps back on the market, and you see it, and all of a sudden you're just like going, you're trying to wipe sleepy dust from your eyes in the morning as you're looking and going, is that right? Did this just come back on the market? And you've got basically till 9 o'clock that night to put your bid in while everybody else is sleeping, sleepwalking, distracted. Maybe they didn't put it back in the MLS yet. Don't let that statement go over your head. Think about that for a second. Hasn't gone back into the MLS yet, so where does it only appear? On the HUD site. Who's looking at the HUD site? Somebody could. I'm not saying that there aren't people that look at it, but who's looking at the HUD site versus Zillow, Trulia, MLS, Realtors, non-HUD distractions? That's what's going on. All right.
When it reappears, when it doesn't have another 15-day wait period?
No, when it reappears, there's no. Once it goes through the original 15-day or 5-day bid period, that's it. It's all daily 24-hour bids, no matter what it does. If it comes back on the market, price reduction, 24-hour bids. Bidding cycle, which is really cool. Bidding strategies. When the property comes out on the market initially for the first month, you don't want to bid any less than 7%. You can't. You can, but they won't take it. And then if the property's been on the market for more than a month, then they'll take 10% under the asking price. Okay?
And then after that?
10%. Forever. Unless they do something extraordinary, which has happened. And I'll show you. Go ahead.
Okay. There's a house I see that the bidding ends at the 23rd of this month.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
Just means that the question is, there's a house that Jim said that's going to, the bidding ends at the 23rd of this month. What does it mean? It means that they're going to be taking bids for the next 5 days, and then they're going to open them up on the 24th.
Open up the bids again, or?
If the bidding period, if that's a bid period that's ending, then they're not going to be announcing any winners or do anything until that bid period is over with, and then they'll open up bids on the following day.
And then if nobody buys?
Then it's a 24-hour bid period indefinitely until they lower the price. And that we'll get to that in just a second.
Okay, but you still have to bid 10%.
10% under. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Now, if you're not tracking a property, so you just pop on it, how do you know how long the property's been up?
Oh, that's a great question. The question is, how do you know how long a property's been up on the market? Every time they lower the price, they reset the clock on the HUD site. Mm-hmm. So you don't know when it was originally when it came out. There's two ways to do that. One, I think if you scurry around on Trulia and stuff, they might tell you what the original list date was. You might be able to, I don't go there, so I don't know. If you're a realtor, you can go and see when it was originally listed. Okay? That's if you're a realtor in the MLS. Right. So let me tell you what I do. I do this even though I'm a realtor. What I do is I go and when I see, like for instance, my five counties are, occasionally I do something in Oneida, Madison, Cayuga, Oswego, and Onondaga County. Whether I list it or not, and my other competitor does list their HUD homes, every morning I'm printing out the HUD sheet. I print out the HUD sheet, and for those of you who are listening, I'm showing what the HUD sheet looks like. You can print this out on the HUD site. I print it out, and I know that this came out January 22nd, 2016. You wouldn't know that without this. I also know that it came on the market for $110,000. Well, a little over a year later, it's $56,430. You'll see it on the HUD site right now. Okay? So that's... And I track it manually. I don't have a spreadsheet. I like this better. Something tangible, something in my hands. I don't know, does that answer your question?
Yeah, so if you're not keeping track of the property as soon as it's listed, then you pretty much Google it and see if you can find it.
Exactly, try to find that, right, that information. And if not, then you call somebody like myself who will have that answer for you. Okay? Yeah, sure. All right, so HUD keeps all bids in their system. That is true. HUD does keep all their bids in their system, but they used to pull from them and award people bids as a result of having them in their system. They're not doing that much anymore since the new management company took over. That still means that it's good to bid. It's still good to bid, still be in their system. Because they say that we reserve the right to be able to accept or deny a bid, but what they're saying is that each time it goes down in price, you might want to bid again because we kind of like say goodbye to all those bids, but that isn't completely true. They just kind of tend towards that, and yet at the same time, they will pull a bid that's old once in a while. They're just not doing it like they used to. It's changed. Every time we go through another management change, I have to figure out what they're doing. And how I do that? I swing the bat over and over and over and over again by putting bids in for clients. And then I track and I watch and I see and I observe because they will not tell me what's going on behind the scenes. One of the advantages of putting even if it's a low bid in, is that if they do a counter offer in the future, for another bid that goes in the future, you're going to receive the same counteroffer as that person who put the bid in the day before. Let me say that again. You put in a bid on January 1st of 2017, and they say no. Whether they counteroffer to you or not, they're not doing hardly any counteroffering. It used to be that every time you put a bid in, they would counteroffer you. Everyone counteroffer, every single one. But they're hardly doing it. But the way their system is designed, if January 1st you put your low offer in, then it goes down in price, goes down in price again, and you're just kind of hanging out. Somebody in March puts in a lower offer than they can accept. They'll counteroffer that person, and they're going to counteroffer you as well, which is kind of cool. Once in a while, that counteroffer will surprise you. I've seen them do some pretty wild counteroffers. Typically not. It's 10% under. But once in a while, they'll do 20, 15. I've seen them do some interesting things. And this is where the inches and seconds advantage goes to the initiated. I'm going to give you an example. And this is an extreme example, so I just want to let you know. I don't want to sit there and get you all crazy thinking, wow, we're going to get rich, you know. Because that isn't the case. 102 Jarrett Drive in Syracuse. 13219 is the zip code. I think that's the Geddes, Westvale.
Mm-hmm.
Original price was $89,000 on August 29th of 2014. Okay, so came out on the market, went and did its bid deadlines for the owner-occupant investor bid. And it sold a couple of months later, before they even did their first price reduction, for $80,478, or approximately 10% under. By the way, this is when they were doing 10% all the time, even the new stuff. All right, didn't go through, went back on the market 2 weeks later, or a month and a half later, sorry. Probably financing fell through. Whatever. So it goes back on the market. What did it go back on the market for? Well, same price, $89,000. Then they decide to lower it to $80,100 on February 20th, 2015. The lowest bid they would take is $72,430. And I got an email from HUD because I had apparently had a low offer in there or an offer, previous offer, and they countered offered because somebody else put an offer in it, whatever. And that they shared what their lowball number is. That's the one cool thing about the about HUD's counteroffer. They reveal their cards to you, and they say, this is what we'll take. March 16th, 2015, it sold for, you ready? $50,000. And that's pretty good. What does that mean statistically? It means they accepted an offer 37.5% under the asking price. Is that amazing? And 44% under the original asking price. Yeah. All right. Here's how you... Remember I said that HUD has got one of the best bidding systems in the world? I said that earlier when I started. And let me explain another reason why they're the best. Nasib, let me ask you a question. You ever put a bid in on a REO, bank REO, or a home path, and get the highest and best by 5 o'clock Tuesday response back?
No.
You've never done that?
No.
Oh, wow. I thought you'd be the perfect example of that. Let me explain what I was asking Nasib for. A lot of times when you put an offer in on a bank, or they call them REOs, or a home path, and there's multiple offers. So let's say you, Todd, let's say you put your offer in today, okay? HUD's going to look at, let's say it's a daily bid for HUD. HUD's going to, if you give me the bid right now, here it is, what, 7:30, okay? You give me the bid right now, HUD's going to give you an answer tomorrow.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Cut and dry, black and white, I love it. Home path. Same bid. John, did you hear anything? Nope. Thursday goes by. John, did you hear anything? Not yet. What, Friday. Hey, Val. Call him up, Bill Crossoff. Hey, Val. Anything? She goes, no, there's still like whatever that it should be soon. Multiple offers. Another offer came in on Thursday. And now all of a sudden I get an email from HomePath that says, highest and best offer by Saturday at 9 a.m. So Friday I say, Todd, what do you want to do? And he says, up at $5,000. So we up at $5,000. That's our highest and best. And then we still don't get it. Yeah. Sometimes we do. Sometimes I win for my clients. But a lot of times we don't. I'll give you an example. There's a gentleman on the Wall of Fame in the next room who bought 19 HUD homes in 2009. And he had a very sharp pencil. Very sharp. He takes the information, he takes his calculations, and he goes and he puts in, I put in three offers for him on HomePath, REOs, whatever. Okay? He doesn't get either three of them. I did four over the next week or so for him on HUDs and got all four. What's the difference? What's the difference? It's the bidding system. It's the bidding system. But the problem is, though, is that, and I don't mean this in disrespect, you guys are like, you're not like schooled to figure this whole thing out. Not to the degree that one would love to be able to take advantage of it. So that's where I step in. I take a lot of time to figure this whole thing out. And then I created an interface. You've got HUD system, and then you got your awesomeness over here, you guys. Okay? And you're ready to rock and roll. How do you go from you to them to victory? That's the question. How do I know that HUD system is so awesome? And how do I interface with it? I got a full-time job. And so, you know, what you're going to do is you're going to want to interface with somebody that does, and that's me, and I've got a system. I've got a system that interfaces with their system. Here's how the system works. The first thing I do is, like I showed you earlier, is to collect all the information. Would you like to go ahead and grab a chair, Mike, and join us?
Thank you, Scott.
This particular information sheet, I collect this first. I go back and I collect everything I can on it, including the MLS sheet, everything I can, and I assemble it. That's the first thing that I do. And you're welcome to do this too. But if you don't want to take the time to do it, I'm going to be the one who's doing it. So I got all the information, the abstract, so to speak, on everything that's going on with this property. Second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the property and I'm going to video it. How many of you have seen my videos online? Okay. So I'm going to go to the property, I'm going to video it. And if you've noticed on my videos, number one, I don't rehearse. Number two, I don't rehearse. I go into every single HUD home cold. And the reason why I do that is because we got a problem with trust in this business. And when I go in cold, I'm not even going to think about rehearsing anything. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to share with you what I see as I see it, just like you would. And that people like. And I didn't realize they liked it. I just thought this would be kind of cool to do this. And then all of a sudden I'm getting feedback like, you know, we trust you. It's like, good, because I'm not going in there telling you anything but the truth. And why not? You're going to see it anyways. And it's not even because you're going to see it anyways, because it's the truth. You know, why not? It's more fun to do that. It's more fun to go, oh, it smells like cats in here. You know, it's more fun to do that. You know, you're going to smell it anyways. Okay, so that's the second thing I do. I shoot a video. I edit it and I throw it up onto YouTube. So first thing if you want to do is go and find my YouTube channel. That's easy. Just put John Adolphi in YouTube and you'll find my YouTube channel. Those of you listening here tonight, that are listening to the recording, go to YouTube and sign up and subscribe to my YouTube channel. And the reason why I'm doing that now, I didn't do that in the past, is that sometimes the interface that I'm going to share with you in just a second doesn't get done as many times as I'd like it to. And that's an email to you guys. It's a mass email. So as soon as I dump the video on there, then you'll get an email saying there's a new video. And then you can watch it. And if nothing more, you have a few yucks for about 5 to 6 minutes. Okay, so once you've seen the video, no matter how you get it, okay, you're going to ask yourself the question, is this something that I'm interested in? And that's the whole point of it. 6 minutes on your couch with your laptop or your phone, and you're going to decide whether or not that's something that you want to take a step forward. So if you're getting one of my emails, you can just hit reply to it and just say, John, I'm interested in this. Or you can call me. And so then what we're going to do is we're going to discuss it. And many of you have had many discussions. Todd, how many discussions have we had?
Many.
And we talk about the property. We talk about what else?
Well, you wouldn't let me bid on the property until I actually went and looked at it.
Did you want to bid on a property that you hadn't seen?
Yes. Right. Only on the video.
And I've had guys do that before. You know, the guy with the deep pocket that I told you about, he one time he bought one without seeing it, and he goes, man, I'm never going to do that again. But some have done it successfully. I've had a few, just maybe a half a dozen people that have, through the years, that have done it. That's another thing, too. Todd, you know that I'll tell you not to buy a house.
Yes.
I will. And I like doing that. Nasib, I don't know if we've ever been in that situation, but let me tell you something. I know you're a big boy and I know you know what you're doing. But if any of you got too excited about something that I felt wasn't even on the cusp of being okay, I would say something. And then after I said something, if you still wanted to move forward, I would feel in good conscience to be able to facilitate for you, then knowing that we've at least had a discussion. And sometimes when you share your perspective on things, it'll not just sway me over, but I'll see it from a different light, and sometimes I'll kind of go, okay, yeah. Yeah, that does seem a little bit doable, knowing what you've just said. And part of it is what you're going to do with it afterwards. If it's a straight flip, then you're going to want to get it for the absolute lowest you possibly can. If it's a buy and hold rent, that's the highest price point that you're going to ever want to pay for something. But it's still going to be low. If you're going to do a creative financing, that's another price point. But they're within the relative ballpark. All right. So you see the video, you call me, you say I'm interested in it. On the back of my sheet here, you will go when you raise your hand. What does that mean? I put your name down in your and any notes I want to, and your phone number. So that when you say, John, I really like Irish Ridge Road in Durhamville. Does anybody even know where Durhamville is? Your hand went up pretty quick. Did you graduate from Durhamville High School?
No, my parents graduated from DBS.
Okay. Wow. All right. So, but I really think $110,000 is a little bit too much. Can you call me when it gets down to 50? And I'm going to be going, it's never going to get to 50. Well, a year and 2 months later, you know, it's down to 56,000. So, you know, so much for my assessment on things. You never know. You really don't know. You know. So, what I didn't mention is, and you haven't asked yet, how often does HUD lower the prices? At 10%, typically, every 30 days. Okay? So, I also marked that on my sheet so that you can say, John, when should we bid? And I'll go, you know what? Went back on the market on the 17th. The last time they did a bid reduction was March 3rd. So because it sold and went back on the market, it's really kind of unpredictable when they're going to do it, but it should be any time now. That's the conversation you and I would have. And then you'd say, John, next time it goes down in price, I want to bid 10% under, call me. So I said, okay, as soon as it goes to 51, you want to put an offer in for right around 47, 46. That's what you want to do? Yep, okay. So, 5:30 in the morning on a Wednesday, I'm looking at my HUD site. All of a sudden, I see Durhamville just went down in price to 51. I mark it in my day timer. I come to work. I mark it on my sheet. I flip the sheet back. I go, oh, there's Alice. She wanted to get it for 47 or 46. Alice, today's the day. You ready? Yep. Okay. And let me tell you how easy it is to make a bid. As long as you convince me that you've got money, and it'll be very simple. Nobody's ever lied about that. As long as you guys have got it, you know you got it, and we're good with that, that's great. I don't have to see it. I don't have to collect a check. I don't have to have you write, have to sign anything, nothing. Here's what you do. Hey, John, what do you need? Full name. Let's say it's Betsy. It's Elizabeth Smith. Okay? Address? 103 Jones Road. Cicero. Great. Social? And they're the only animal on the planet that asks for a social security number. Anyway, grab your social. Great. I'll talk to you tomorrow. 3 minutes later, your bid's in. You can't do that with any other interface out there. Do you know what you got to do for HomePath? HomePath, 7-page contract, 13-page addendum, copy of your earnest money deposit, copy of your proof of funds, have you sign it, send it back. We then have to upload it and then put it in electronically and press submit. With HUD, done. That's why I encourage low offers. I encourage, you know, and what I mean by low offer, I don't mean this. They're asking 60 and you want to put it in for 9,900. I don't want to, that type of thing is kind of, that's a waste of time. All right. But if you wanted to put it in for 30, we'll put it in for 30. All right? And another thing, too, people ask me is, John, can I put... Go ahead, Jim.
John, that 30 would not be 10%.
No. But you may want to just for the heck of it, get yourself into their system for some of the other benefits that could happen and just be there. You can always up your bid later on if you want. You know,
so like it's a good idea to go in low like that. Even
you can if you want. It's not. It's not going to happen. Look.
What reason is that?
First off, it only takes me 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Number two, you're on the scoreboard, even though it's not going to count for much right now. Okay. If they ever want to pull your offer and award it to you, and you're the only one in there, and they decide one day when they're down to 40,000 and nobody's put an offer in, all of a sudden I may be calling you up and telling you that something just wonderful just happened. It could happen. It has happened. That's why I say it's always good to do it. Last time I held off with somebody, I got surprised. I got surprised and it got sold for much less than I thought they would take. And I said, never going to do that anyways. It went back on the market and he ended up not wanting to do it after he took a closer look at it. But I thought to myself, I don't think I'm going to do that again. I'm not going to hold people off. I'm just going to do it. You know? Okay, so you've taken a look at the property, okay, and either virtually you're interested enough for me to raise your hand for a certain price point and I'm going to track it, or you've gone and seen it and now you're wanting to do the same. And then when I call you one day and let you know the good news that we got it, you know, that it's down in price, I'm going to call you every time it goes down in price. And we're going to have another conversation. Did we do that with the one you bought that you live in?
We only did that once we got it.
Huh. What was the original asking price for that? Do you remember?
It was high. It was up in the 60s. It was 160,000, I think it was.
Yeah, what'd you end up getting it for? 90?
113.
113. This is in DeWitt Shire. Do you know where DeWitt Shire is? Yeah, there's like nothing for sale in DeWitt Shire. That's a foreclosure. Yeah. You got it. You got it, yeah. It was good. Okay. So, watch my video. Raise your hand and get ready. That's how you do it. Now, let me just say this. And this is not coming from someone who's just biased because I love HUD homes, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you, though, if you have limited time and you don't have a full-time job doing this and you want to invest yourself, this is the only thing you want to invest yourself in, is the system that I have in these properties. There's enough of them to keep you busy. And here's the reason why I say that. If you go to, because you're going to have to go take a look at these. How do you feel about going? Now, look, this is a baited question. How would you feel about going and looking at 10 properties, knowing that there's going to be a highest and best on 8 of them, and you're going to have to bid against yourself, not knowing what's going on, as opposed to this system? This system, you can get them consistently lower and actually get them. You'll be the one that gets them. The only thing that's stopping you is timing and money. Money and timing. Best system around. Okay. Wait and score. That's how you do it. And I'll coach you every step of the way. If you're getting in trouble, if you're getting in deep water, I will tell you, please, rethink this. Now, this is a HUD bidding secret I created. Now, look at, there's other, I can't name them by names, but I've heard from other people that these HUD gurus that say, I have a bidding system that will work, it's some formula. And I'm like going, no, you don't. You don't. Did you see the one on Jarrett Drive that we just showed, 102 Jarrett Drive? How do you employ a bidding system on something as crazy as that? Now, I know that's an extreme situation, but how do you do that? How do you go from 89 to 50 in two steps? What kind of system are you going to tell me that you're going to be able to employ to do that? Now, I know that's an extreme example, but that kind of stuff can happen. Every house is different, and yet it follows the same, it's within the same system. Every house has its own stamp, personality in a sense, as far as economic dynamic is, I guess, the best way to put it. You've got to have somebody that's personalizing this. The timing of it. The nuances that take place along the way. You can't do. But if I was to create a bidding system with a bidding percentage or whatever, this is what I would do. This is what I came up with. Take any property, its original list price, this was 110, okay? And multiply it by 58%. And I found that this is consistent and it works. You take the original list price, multiply it by 58%, and in this case, this would be about $63,000. All right. And did it sell? It sold for 58 at one time. Went back on the market back in December 2016. So it was pretty close. I've noticed that because of the way the 10% thing runs and the dynamic of it, that a pretty darn good price of 42% off the original asking price is about the line where you get a little bit too greedy beyond that. The only way you can get greedy effectively is when these inches and seconds moments come up. And I'm going to tell you about Irish Ridge Road in just a second and reveal one of these inches and seconds moments to give you an idea of how good it can be. Now, please understand that the address is 5627 Irish Ridge Road. It's in Durhamville, New York. It's in Oneida County. And it's between Syracuse and Rome, a little bit closer to Rome, right on the southern east side of Oneida Lake. And again, it's a log cabin home. It's got a two-car barn-style garage, and it started at 110. And yes, it is in YouTube. If you go to YouTube and put 5627 Irish Ridge Road, you can watch the six-minute video. I'm going to share something with you that is absolutely mind-blowing, but I'm not going to do it on the recording. That's right, folks. You're welcome to call me at the office and talk to me about this, but we're going to finish up here, and then we're going to do a little Q&A, and I'm going to share something here. But let's go back to Jarrett Drive and then hold that thought about Irish Ridge. Jarrett Drive, 0.58% or 58%, multiply it, 51,620. And what did it sell for? 50,000. Pretty close, huh? Now, here's I call it a super secret website. Nobody talks about this website. Nobody knows about it. I didn't even know about it. Somebody told me about this. It's got all the HUD stats on it. And you're going to like love this. It's Home Value HUD. Sorry. www.hudhomevalue.com. And here's what it's got on it. Here's hudhomevalue.com when Jarrett Drive was on the market. And it said the accepted price was $47. That's with the $3,000 in commission taken out. So that's the net to HUD. Okay? And if you didn't know that, it would be confusing. And it gives the whole abstract or history of the property. Look, started $89.9, then it went, bid resolved, went down in price, and then boom, sold. Now, here's the crazy thing, and watch out for this, even from them. The estimated best bid is $41,315. I don't know where they're coming up with this stuff, but beware of this and beware of Zillow. Beware of Zillow values, its estimates. Yuck! They used to be really, really bad, really bad, like way too high, really bad. Now they're just okay bad. A lot of information there. I never go on it, to be honest with you. I don't really feel I need to because I've got way more information that I've collected myself. But if you ever want to have some fun, that's how you do it. Okay, so my contact information is, and I'll give you my website address and my phone number. It's www.adolfi.com. That's adolfi.com, in case you want to check out our website. But go to my YouTube channel. That's where it's all happening. The blog that I have, we're redoing the whole thing. It is going to be spectacular. Then I'm going to, very proudly, with my chest out, I'm going to reintroduce my website, and it's going to be something that is going to be extremely, extremely valuable to someone who's searching for the videos that they want to watch. But right now, go to YouTube, and our number is 315-695-6434. All right, I think that's it. We're going to go ahead and shut off the recording. Oh, again, next month, like I said earlier, and I'm going to pass this around, we are going to talk about how to remodel and fix your HUD or not HUD home. How to remodel a home. What do you fix? How much does it cost? What does a new roof cost? What's a new heating system cost? What color paint should I paint my bathroom? We're going to talk about all that. How to max. And if you're just looking to remodel your house, by all means, come on down. All right. Thank you very much for listening. And you folks have a great day.